Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's broadcast of the Alchemy of Light. We are a bit tardy getting started. Thank you for your patience, those who have hung in there. We are having technical learning experiences, and we have learned a lot. So welcome to the Alchemy of Light broadcast. This show is a celebration, an exploration of consciousness, how we feel and think, because everything begins with a feeling. And today I'm really grateful to be welcoming a very special person to me. Her name is Sandra Menendez, and this show I am very interested in highlighting the genius of every person walking. And Sandra not only is a longtime friend of mine, but she is also somebody who walks her talk and somebody who cares a lot about being the best person she can be every time she walks out that door. And she is somebody like most people we know, the people you see on the street. You know, when we're walking in a crowd, you don't see that that person has a cool book or a website or something dingy-dangy to make them like ring bells in the big world. No, you see real people. And ultimately, who we are as real people is what makes or breaks our world. And Sandra is a good example of how to be a really good person. And I wanted to welcome her because of that, to bring that energy of what a person who's busy can do in making themselves better. And the impetus for bringing this show is that Sandra is a very, very spiritual person. She is somebody who has actively cultivated her spirituality. She's never been religious. She's always been spiritual. She has a very strong connection with her soul within. She has always taken time in her life to nurture and cultivate that. And very recently, she rang me with a very excited story of a dream she had, a lucid dream. And in the dream, she asked the question about the fate of humanity and was time traveled to the year 2030. And naturally, as what happens in dreams, that very profound messages come, we want to share them. And they're very important to be heard because all of us are dreamers. All of us have this access to the deep knowing within that our dreams reveal to us. And so I am honored to have this opportunity to introduce her to all of you, and I would like to welcome her to share a little bit about how she takes care of her soul in her busy, busy world, and to really spend time sharing with all of us the dream that she has had. And I am going to just fast forward a bit to move into the time reality that we have, and welcome. Hello, Sandra. How are you?
Hello. Good. It's great to hear your voice.
It's nice to hear yours, too. And so would you please share with the listeners a little bit, very, very briefly, about, you know, where you're from, how you're doing here in America, and if you could just as neatly as possible segue into some of the highlights of your soul care, of some of the things that you do on an ongoing basis that allow you to feel connected to your being within, in the business of your world.
Sure. Well, I'm originally from Spain, Madrid. I came to the United States back in 1995. And it's been a never-stop, ever-learning process in many different aspects. But anyhow, right now I, I'm currently a student, trying to get my bachelor's in paramedicine. I'm also working doing emergency medical services, which is volunteer. At the same token, I work at a YMCA. Local YMCA as a swimming instructor, and I, you know, teach swimming lessons and water exercises and things like that. And then basically, you know, with this hectic, crazy life that I think we all have in common these days, especially in a, you know, in a crowded metropolis, you know, like maybe New Jersey. I guess that it's for me, it's has become a way of life. I mean, no matter how hectic, how crazy life gets, I feel like I have to go deep within to find that peacefulness, that calm, that reassurance, and that connection with my own soul, with my own spirit. One, I guess I do it through exercise. That is probably my way out. Some people, you know, unfortunately, they do it with, you know, maybe alcohol or, you know, worse things than that. With me, I have to, you know, physically, you know, let it out, exercise and working out with many different sports. And then on the other aspect, as far as nurturing myself and finding that peace within, I do it with meditation, I do it with mantras, I do it with music, and self-hypnosis, amongst other things. So, and of course, reading non-stop, reading of, you know, different materials and, you know, different subjects.
So nurturing the quality of things that you put into your mind and making a point to release the excess energy or anxiety in your physical exercise.
That is correct, yeah.
And at this point, would you like to go further into some of your soul care, or would you like to go ahead and begin with a dream?
If that's okay with you, I think that it would be interesting to share my very powerful, beautiful dream with the audience and, you know, with the rest of the public.
Okay, great. Then let's begin with that. Please share with us the dream and... perhaps you could share with us a little bit about how this dream stood out in the quality of it as well, what it would be, how we would know it as what the word is lucid dream, and how that dream quality is different from your other dreams and a bit of your experience with dreams, and then just go.
Sure. Well, I think that when we go to sleep, obviously we drifted among, you know, different different phases. You know, from the moment we are, you know, getting relaxed and, you know, and slowly falling asleep. You know, our brain, our, you know, everything starts to slow down. And I think that one of the things that everybody, when we dream, we have in common, if we are able or capable to remember our dreams, is the fact that regular or normal dreams have a very distinctive quality. That is the fact that you know that you're dreaming because reality gets distorted a little bit. Things sometimes change in a little strange way, or, you know, the colors are different. It feels different. It's basically like a regular dream. I knew that this dream was completely, absolutely unique because of a few things. First of all, when I was having this dream, the first thing that took place is that I realized, I sensed that I was dreaming. It was a realization. And two, I decided and I chose not to wake up and hence to have control over the dream. Something that hadn't happened to me since I was maybe like 13 or 14 years old, many, many, many years ago. That's probably the first thing that shocked me. After that, not only I was able to do that, but realizing that this is not regular dreaming. I mean, everything was exactly as reality itself. There was no distortions. It was perfectly clear, like I am right now sitting at home. So basically my dream started and it was almost basically I was, you know, spending some time with my family. It was, you know, early 1980s. And all of a sudden, having the realization that I could have control over my dreaming and over, you know, what I would do or where I would go. Basically, this question popped into my mind and I said, well, I really would like to know if there is a future for the human race, if we're going to destroy ourselves and destroy planet Earth, or is there really a light at the end of the tunnel? And at that moment, basically, I jumped into the future. It was interesting because one of the very first things that I noticed was my fancy watch, if you can call it a watch, some type of device that basically told me the year that I was in. Which it was actually, Jamil, it was the year 2030. I know that you mentioned 2040, but it was actually 2030, around the corner. And I was basically inside this apartment, and apparently in a high-rise flat. And I decided to go towards the window, a big, beautiful, kind of like a bay window, but not really, was somewhat round and totally transparent. And I basically looked through the window, and I realized that I am in a very large city, almost like New York City, but there was something different about this city. Usually when we say city or very, you know, busy, metropolitan area, we automatically think about, you know, polluted and dirty and dark and busy. And this was like no city I've ever seen before. Yes, it was busy, but it had a flow to it. It had an harmony to it. There was no disruptions. Everything seemed like, you know, everything flowed effortlessly. The buildings were beautiful, exquisite design. And I looked down and I saw tons of people in the street. And one of the things that really caught my mind, caught my eye immediately, was the cars. The vehicles were absolutely spectacular. They were very modern. The vehicles were not flying. However, they look completely very futuristic and basically. It was as if each vehicle were to be gliding slightly above the ground. I couldn't see wheels, but almost like if they floated and each vehicle, moved gently throughout the streets. Not only that, but the sense that the first vehicle in line was connected to the 40th vehicle behind, and almost as if the traffic were to be an alive organism. There was some type of connection, telepathic connection, you can call it, that everybody knew or was somehow aware of what the other driver was doing. So it was a perfect, slow, gentle motion of traffic moving. And then on top of that, Jamil, each car had this beautiful, almost like glowing neon or / LED something lights. Each color has its own lights that gave a very particular signature to that specific car. So that's the other thing that really caught my mind, the beauty of these, you know, cars moving effortlessly. Basically, at this point, I decided to go downstairs and, you know, check it out and, you know, mix with the people and, you know, see the streets. So I basically get into the, if you can call it, elevator. And go downstairs, and I say that because it was absolutely beautiful place that basically brought me downstairs, but it was exquisite. I can't even describe it with words. It's just because I remember seeing things that I, obviously, they haven't been built yet. So, I go downstairs, and as soon as I go out of the building, basically, the streets were packed with people. People walking around, busier than Fifth Avenue in New York City. And basically, amongst all these people, I saw two individuals that caught my eye really quickly. One was an individual that was wearing a totally, completely white jumpsuit from head to toe. He has some type of, fancy special kind of helmet and was carrying a bright orange emergency medical services bag. And next to this individual was another man wearing some type of like dark blue jumpsuit, the same from head to toe. And a slightly different kind of, again, a helmet, if you can call it you know, that way, because I can't really, you know, describe exactly what it was. And a lot of different, like strange gadgets and I don't know, working gear that I didn't recognize. I'm guessing, you know, medical personnel and maybe some type of law enforcement. I don't know. That's what I was guessing. The other thing that really got my attention was that it was daytime, but it wasn't super like sunny or bright. The light was just perfect. It was just right. It didn't bother my eyes at all. And it was just very pleasant. And basically, you know, at this point I'm saying, oh my God, where am I? This is definitely the future's year 2030. And again, having constantly that feeling of this is not a dream. This is, you know, this is maybe an astral trip. Is it a lucid dream? What is this? But this is not real dream. And it felt so, so different. Of course, I made the conscious choice of, you know, not waking up and continue my beautiful experience. And basically, at this point, one of the things that probably fascinated me the most was the feeling of that the people around me, these super tremendously evolved human beings, they were aware that I was not from their time. I could sense it. Like they could communicate telepathically somehow, because I could sense the recognition that they knew that I was there. There was acceptance. They accepted me, but they also knew that I was less evolved, that I was more primitive of a human being. And still, they, you know, accepted me amongst all of them. That was one. And two, the sense, there was an amazing, tremendous sense of harmony and peace around me. I could sense, literally sense with all my senses, five and more, that people were happy. I could sense the joy. Everybody was going around with the businessness, but there was no rush. There was no anger. There was no confusion. There was no frustration. It was as if everything it was meant to be, and there was again pure happiness and pure understanding amongst everybody. Like everybody had a common goal, a common purpose for that, you know, civilization, for that, human race. And the feeling was just absolutely unbelievable. And at that point, the very last thing of my dream, I remember witnessing the most unbelievable display of dancing, if you can call it dancing, that I witnessed. Basically, I remember looking towards my right, and there was a display. There was a group of, these evolved human beings, and the way they were dancing, the music, of course, I cannot put it into words, unfortunately. It was the most beautiful, the most beautiful notes I've ever heard in my life. I can't even describe it into words. It's something that you have to hear. And along with this beautiful music, you could see these individuals dancing. And when I say dancing, I guess, Jamil, that the best way I can put it is for the audience, try to imagine, like a ballet dancer mixed with a gymnast, mixed with a basketball. I mean, they were just fascinating. They were twisting and turning and jumping and gliding, and then they had certain props that I don't know what they were, and they were complimenting their dance, and it was phenomenal. It was, and they were doing it just, that's the other thing that I sensed, because there was no verbal communication. I could sense that the purpose is because of joy. They just felt like dancing. They felt like sharing this beautiful display of art, and they were sharing that with everybody. And it was absolutely fascinating, to witness such a beautiful display of art.
And, were you still on the street? You were still on the street? So they were just dancing in the street?
That is correct. They were dancing in the street. The people were going up and down and around, and they had, you know, this little area set up for them, and that's where they were performing, and that's where they were dancing. But it was basically for the public, for everybody or anyone that wanted to see them dance. And it was just unbelievable. And probably the other and probably one of the last things that I remember that also caught my attention completely was the fact that not only they were able to communicate with each other telepathically, and they could use, you know, that sense of knowing what the other person is thinking, but how they moved. They were walking, sure, but at some point here and there, one of them would like take like a little jump, and they would like almost like slow motion take a few, you know, a few feet over the air, and then land gently and continue their walk. Almost as if you want to step over a puddle when it has rained and you don't want to, you know, get wet, something similar. But, and some of them could jump a little bit, and others could actually take a really nice long jump. And almost like if they were like floating in the air before they landed and they continue walking. So that also really, really, shocked me and surprised me. And that's pretty much it. I remember waking up soon afterwards and remembering every single feeling and every single image with total clarity. So I took advantage of that and, you know, grabbed my pen and paper and wrote everything down to, you know, the minimum detail. So that was my dream.
And in the dream, and you're in 2030, if we could stay there just a little bit longer, in 2030, in the harmony that you experienced and the clarity of union that you experienced, the people being aware of each other, did you have any sense of like this world at all, other than the fact that you knew you were not quite evolved yet in 2030 consciousness? Or like, I just wonder in relation to jumping from this world that is at this moment appears to be, you know, not quite in a harmonious state yet. And we are going there, but I wonder if in that 2030 was there any sense of recall or awareness of where we have just been, or was it just new game, new show, or do you know?
To be honest with you, I what I sensed through that dream, it was definitely us. It was definitely, you know, you, me, and every single beautiful human being that is right now out there listening to our voices. It was us, but more evolved. Again, year 2030. But it's not like I went to, you know, another dimension, another planet. It was definitely us, our, you know, human beings of planet Earth, but extremely evolved, much more in tune with nature, understanding, you know, all the beauty that is within us, that, you know, allows us with love to work with one another, not against each other. And, you know, to build those core values and ethics, to build that foundation that allows us, or, you know, hopefully it will very, very soon, to, you know, reach that very bright future that I saw. So it was definitely us, but again, in a much more evolved, face. Yes.
Did you see nature? How did you experience nature? Were there trees or birds or anything that we might be familiar with now?
You know what? I remember because I was, you know, again, in a very busy metropolis, very busy city kind of place. I don't recall, seeing a lot of plants and trees. I mean, I have certain very few little flashes of seeing, you know, a couple, you know, trees or bushes, a little vegetation here and there. But I don't recall in particular, seeing a specific, you know, green area or having a special relationship with plants or with animals. I don't recall in particular anything as such now.
So in your dream, you were shown basically that living being inside each person.
Yes, basically, and that's why probably I woke up with such a joy and I was so, so happy, oh my goodness, for so many hours afterwards. Because basically, you know, it was a very clear answer to my question when I decided to jump into the future. And the answer, you know, that, you know, do we have, you know, are we going to see the light at the end of the tunnel? Does the human race have a future? And the answer is yes, absolutely. We can do it together. You know, probably one of the most important concepts, I believe, anyhow, as a spiritual person, is that we are all together in this. And what happens in, I don't know, China, affects me as a human being, as an individual. And what happens to me affects them in China. At one level or another, you know, might not be, you know, literally, technically speaking, directly, but that everything is energy and we are all interconnected. And the same way, unfortunately, some awful, dreadful people are hurting other human beings. What goes around comes around. And if we really, truly work together, no matter what you do out there, I don't care if it's picking up the garbage cans every day, you know, working your so hard, or, you know, working as a lawyer, as a doctor, all of us within, deep inside, we have the seed to, you know, that slowly you can grow and you can help one another with love, with acceptance, with understanding, and you know, through working with one another, we can, you know, reach this beautiful, attainable future. We can do it together. It's just a matter of, you know, somehow, which is very difficult in our society today, you know, always so competitive and always, you know, stepping on each other, you know, to get higher. But it's all a matter of, you know, sharing and helping each other out for the better of humanity, for all of us. And that's pretty much the, you know, the message that I got. You know, we can do it and we can do it together.
Well, thank you so much for sharing this dream. The aura of the dream, it speaks to me, and I'm sure it will reach people who need to reach. And perhaps this is a really helpful segue to bringing it from here to there. Mm-hmm. And how do you see we might be able to be proactive in ourselves in our personal development toward reaching that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the key important concepts is, of course, education. But when I mean by education, yes, of course, you can go to a very, you know, elite, you know, college or school and, you know, get your master's degree or whatever. But when I say education, I'm talking about, you know, being well-rounded and ground yourself, you know, be aware of, you know, different people, different cultures, different, you know, different backgrounds, you know, read as much as you can, open up yourself. Right now, unfortunately, especially through, you know, TV and the media, everything, all the news are just so, you know, bias is always, you know, one, you know, point of view, and usually is to control people. So just open up yourself to, you know, other sources of information, read, you know, newspapers, radio stations as wonderful as this one, and just be aware of what is out there. That's number one. Open up yourself. Don't just focus on your tiny little world. And two, again, you don't have to be, you know, and please forgive me, you know, you don't have to be like a surgeon and save someone's life, which thank God they do, you know. But I'm saying even little things count, even if it's smiling to a little stranger on the street or giving your hand to a child, you know, because to help them go across the street, or might be putting a bandaid at someone, might be listening and giving your sympathetic ear, might be helping your neighborhood with the grocery bags up the, you know, second flight of stairs, might be doing CPR, whatever it is that you're doing. It's just that willingness to help one another, no matter what it is, you can help at least one human being every day. And if everybody were to do the same thing, I think it would be an amazing shift in consciousness and in global awarenessness towards this, you know, amazing goal, you know?
That's great. And then how would you recommend people move through their fear? Because in our world, we have these ideas that the other, meaning everybody that isn't like us, is different, and that we should, you know, be afraid of them. Of course, the media has a lot to do with that and all those things, but still a lot of people I sense are right on the edge. They have an idea that maybe they could reach out and help people, but the fear in them is very stifling. It prohibits people from really just coming out and saying, "Hey, I love you. That was really beautiful." And we haven't learned that yet. And so I wonder what you would suggest for helping people move beyond fear when, you know there's something you could do and you're on that fence and you just want to do it and that fear, you know?
And it is so true. I'm so glad that you brought that up, because especially in our society, we live in a society of repression. And when, unfortunately, what we call freedom is not really true freedom. And again, how do you accomplish that? I'm going to say, do really what you really, really feel is true within your heart. When you do what feels right deep in your heart, and the answer is that you're going to do something, whatever task, small or big, may be, if you're going to do something with love, that place right deep inside, when you make that decision and you follow your own intuition, your own gut instincts, you will never ever go wrong. That's number one. And number two, if you are in the right path, things are going to start to happen in a fascinating way. Some people call it coincidences. I personally don't believe in coincidences. I think everything is meant to happen for one way or another, especially when we have a really, really hard time and we go through a really tough time. There's always probably the biggest and best lesson to learn out of all of them, once we obviously come out, because we grow and we are so much stronger and wiser. So, one, again, go with your heart, go with your gut instinct, do what you feel is right in your heart. Two, if you are right and you act in this way, things are going to start falling in place. You're going to be on the right path. Things are going to get easier and better for you. You're going to know that you're in the right path, because everything falls into place almost like magic. And last and not least, you are always going to be protected. I don't care if you believe in angels or if you believe in the spirits of your loved ones that may be passed on, or if it's in arcane, whatever it is. There is something out there, folks, much more powerful, much more big than you and I. And that beautiful consciousness, awarenessness, love, it is going to be working with us, working for you, protecting you, giving you guidance. And all you need to do is just believe in yourself, nurture yourself as much as you can. So hopefully you'll be open to receiving, messages. And just know that you are very well protected. If you're on the right path, you will know, and things are going to just fall into place.
Well, do you elaborate on the bigger power and how we might recognize that more?
Sure. It's actually interesting that you asked that question, because, and I don't mind sharing this with all the listeners out there. In my case, being originally from Spain, Madrid, I'm going to say, that a very, very high percentage of the population is Catholic. Pretty strict, going to church and, you know, going through. In my particular case, my family that I grew up with, nobody, neither my father, my mother, my brothers and sisters, not only they did not believe in God, but also they never believed in, you know, life after death and absolutely nothing. There's no evil, there's no God, nothing exists. So it was a very... it was a tremendous transformation and a learning process for me when I went through my teenage years to go from that, point up to where I am now, you know, did a lot of research and trying to grow that way, you know. And I guess that at the point that I am now, after, you know, so many, of course, personal experiences and so many things that have taken place in my life, It's just amazing, because for me right now, there's just no other way. I mean, it is, you know, some people call it God, other people call it Allah, other people call it Buddha, other people call it, you know, whatever you call it, to me, it's all the same thing. There's this something else out there that is much more powerful than you and I, that, you know, we can connect to it. You can call it also, you know, the universal intelligence or universal consciousness, whatever you call it. Connect with that. You can also, of course, do it through your dreams, through, past life regressions. You can do, there's so many ways that you can connect, and you are going to feel it. You are going to sense it. And to me, it's just so powerful. And the more you align yourself with this magnificent source, the more you're going to be able to grow spiritually as a human being, as a person, as a mother, as a father, as a brother, whatever you are.
Beautiful. Thank you. There is time, I think, for another question or two here. Can you stay with the focus of connecting with the bigger power I call the universal love intelligence? And can you share with us maybe a specific example of how you touch? Is it something you tap into as a regular, like all the time, or is it something that you need to meditate to do, or is it something that's grown in you? Like maybe you had a big experience and then it integrated more into your everyday life, or how do you experience that? I would like to tap on that healing of our very material-based identity to integrating the soul identity, and I feel that's very connecting to the bigger power.
Sure, I think that's actually also a great question, Jamil. I think there's many ways that you can achieve that. It can be from something very simple as, again, just picking up, a nice book and learning the steps, you know, towards, you know, a successful meditation. It can be as deep and as profound as, you know, going to India and you know, for 6 months and totally integrating yourself, you know, with that society, going into monastery, studying, meditation or yoga, and come out as a, you know, brand new human being. There's so many different levels, and you can go as deep as you want, but it doesn't have to be time-consuming. It doesn't have to be like you dedicate your whole life. It can be as simple as taking a walk in the park and watching a beautiful sunset and connecting with nature and, you know, getting rid of all that stress and listen to the birds and look at the sun going down and breathing in and try to connect with the breeze that you hear, or feeling the motion of the branches in the trees, you know, rocking gently back and forth. There's so many ways that you can connect. Obviously, you know, meditation, guided imagery or using visualization is another very powerful way. Hypnosis. There's so many different ways. Whatever method you use, you are going to know, again, because everybody's different, what works for you. And once you find that route, you know, explore even further. Again, some people, you know, may achieve a, you know, very high level of you know, awareness and maybe through through yoga, for example, or, you know, being in the water. I'm a water person. I'm in the water every day. I love going underwater. For me, it's so peaceful and so, you know, extraordinary. You know, there's so many ways. Again, just explore what is out there. You know, and you know, reach even farther.
Thank you so much. We are on the final few minutes here, and I wonder if in my last question, would you please offer if one step people could take right now toward making the new world of harmony and balance and beauty within a priority in all of our lives. Is there one thing that you would recommend we could do? One thing, just one thing right now.
Wow, that is the most powerful question that I've ever heard, because I do have, and my heart is screaming out loud to tell you the answer. This answer is very shocking. I'm sure it's going to be very, very shocking for the audience and all the public out there, all the people listening right now. To me, it's a huge step that begins with two words. No religion. No religion. Everybody has something in common. That beautiful light and candle can be shared with one another, regardless of what you think or what you believe. It's not what you believe or how you believe, but what keeps us together as human beings, that we are all brothers and sisters. And if you are able, or if we are able as humanity, to forget about religion, amongst, of course, other things, I think it would be a tremendous, a huge, a humongous step for us human beings to, you know, achieve you know, that beautiful, you know, future.
Ah, that's great. Thank you. Thank you with my whole heart, Sandra, for making time to come here and share with the listeners of the Alchemy of Light broadcast. Thank you, all the listeners, for your patience while we had a learning experience in the beginning. And I'm Jamil Graham, your host. And would you like to offer a closing farewell? And then we'll wrap it up.
Thank you very, very much for having me, and I really, really appreciate it. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, Sandra. A pleasure for me as well. And we will see you all in 2 weeks. And thank you, BBS Radio, the good people in the back of the house there. And take good care of yourselves and take good care of each other. Bye-bye.